Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 9th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, I'll update you on the latest happenings here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, and we'll hear from a Southern Illinois cow-calf operator today. The high price of corn is not getting to him, but the shortage of hay sure is. Oh, and Amy Rochkus will be along as well today to take a look at our collective farm ancestry. It all happens on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The December contract in the wheat pit at $7.62, unchanged today. March contract at $7.84 and a half, down 4.5 cents. And the July futures at $6.81 and a half were unchanged. December corn at $3.86 and three quarters, down 2 and three quarters. The March, $4.04, down 2 and a quarter. And the May, down 2.5 cents at $4.13 and three quarters. December corn next year at $4.31, down 3 and three quarters. November soybeans, $10.43, up 15. January, $14 and three quarters, higher at $10.56. And the March contract at $10.70 and a half cents. Up 14 and a quarter. November next year at 989 and a half, up 17. December bean meal futures up $3.40 at 281.80. December bean oil at 45.08, up 93 for the day. December live cattle at the Merck a dime higher at 95.50. February live cattle futures at 98.32 and a half, down 2.5 cents. November feeders 20 cents higher at 107.95. And the January finished $108.02 and a half, 100 weight, up 35 for the day. December lean hog futures $2.42 and a half higher at $53.90 even. Crude oil futures 96.35, up 89 for the day in the nearby December. January futures at 95.28, up 62. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 13,167, is just about 98 points lower on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I need to take just a moment to extend an apology to the listeners. Yesterday, during the settlement prices at 150, I grabbed a wrong set of numbers. I'd been traveling and was just doing my normal routine, picked up a set of numbers, had not seen anything from the day before, and they were probably from Tuesday. I don't know what day those settlements came from, but they certainly weren't from yesterday's. An astute listener actually picked that up and phoned in. Thanks to that listener for making sure that we were staying straight here at the station. Speaking of staying straight, one of the guys that does that for us is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
What's the straight and narrow scoop today on the marketplace in Chicago?
Well, there probably wasn't a straight and narrow. There was a lot of data thrown at us, not just grain and livestock data by USDA, but also a lot of economic data in terms of trade gap and so on and so forth, exports and imports. So a lot of numbers to crunch, and I think that probably added to a little bit of schizophrenic attitude in the way the trades were trading here. You couldn't really piece together or puzzle together what was going on in the outside markets versus the inside. I think probably the biggest thing we saw today that was the best surprise for the person that has not sold anything yet was the bean-led turnaround, and we opened up much weaker than thought on opening calls. No selling pressure followed, and beans got lifted, kind of went lower again during the middle of the day, but then we started to see the dollar give way to the Brazilian real. The crude oil started to pop up again and get back up on the positive side of things, and all of a sudden we saw bean oil, the commodity that had a 4.5% increase in its domestic ending stocks today on the report, lead the rally back up and turn the meal and the beans back higher. Brand new 33-year highs, I think, in bean oil. And we think some buy stops were hit there. Haven't gotten any word on volume as far as heavier light volume on the day so far.
Let's go through the numbers as they were released from USDA this morning at 7:30 a.m., and we'll start with the soybeans. A 41.3 bushel to the acre average, according to USDA, for a total crop of 2.594 billion. That's down from USDA's estimate in October of 2.598 billion. And the soybean average bushels was down as well. They were at 41.4 in October, 41.3 today. The number for the carryout now stands at 210 million bushels, down just 1 million bushel. Actually down 5 million bushels from the October estimate at 215. That probably was what sparked the idea that there would be a pretty good lift in the marketplace. But it was, you tell me, it was pretty tempered on the opening this morning, despite the numbers that showed fewer soybeans around by the time we get to next fall than had been previously expected?
Yeah, in fact, on the opening, we opened a lot lower, I think down about 6, with the corn down about 8 leading the way. And the rhetoric we got after the report was, gosh, it's kind of a disappointment to only be down a couple million bushels on carryover for beans. And fundamentally, from where we sit, to be able to justify a 1040 November bean price, or like a DTN national cash price of 950, you'd have to think we're probably below a 200 million bushel carryover to be able to justify those kind of prices if you're looking at a model of just pure supply and demand and based upon, you know, the last 7 years of carryover and exports. But the trade clearly has a lot more in it than just plain old supply and demand fundamentals. That's almost a boring thought to a lot in the trade anymore. And we're wondering whether the beans are not being picked up by some of these index traders and fund traders, a lot like the crude and the gold has been, just because they know the explosive power of beans if you can get the outside markets on your side. And certainly something we'll be watching for, but I can tell you in our outlook and what we're sending out to clients, we're going to be pushing more 07 sales out the door on higher market activity next week.
Do you think is that, or is it that the dollar's been so weak that the beans are just cheap on the world market yet? I mean,
I think you hit on the nose. I think that dollar real spread has been such a wonderful leading indicator for the last 9 months. And, you know, the Brazilian Central Bank has been buying dollars all week long, and all that does is give currency traders more desire to buy reals, and so the dollar actually goes down against the real when you get that kind of central bank intervention, because it tells the currency traders they're right on the money, you know, if you got to defend a currency. And so I think you hit it on the nose. That currency is very powerful, and it's very powerful to the crude oil. It's very powerful to the gold. I think, you know, 5 years ago when we talked about currencies, not many people wanted to talk about it, and now it is the thing to talk about, and thank goodness we've gotten into the mindset that the currencies really do play a role in this market lately.
A pretty good drop in the corn numbers from USDA today as well. They pegged this year's crop at 13.168 billion bushels, still a very large crop, but down from the 13.318 billion bushel from October. An average yield of 153 bushels to the acre. That's down, 1.7 bushels. It was about 154.7. Carryover at 1.897. down from 1.997 billion bushels, and the market opened lower.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to those were all good numbers, and the fact that they didn't lower ethanol demand was another good number. But when it came down to the bottom of the sheet, the ending stocks were just under 1.9 billion. I think that was a little bit of a surprise to the trade. And one nice thing it does, I think, is maybe clear up some of the issues between the cash and the basis and the futures. We think maybe with this bigger carryover level, that the bin doors are shut pretty tight. The cash is still the leader to the upside, we suspect, Todd, especially given that this production number is lower, because the way the USDA came down with a bigger carryover on a yield cut was by lowering the feed, and they just got done on the same report this morning, raising both beef production, commercial production, and raising pork commercial production for 07. You know, we only got 2 months left in 07, and they're raising production here, but yet they're lowering the feed side of corn. So we still think the cash market and the basis market is going to be the leader to the upside. The futures probably the leader to the downside. In another 30 days or in the next 30 days, we're going to have to figure out whether the D07 corn is too cheap or the March 07 corn is too expensive, because we've still got that 17-cent plus carry in the market, and we really can't keep that for the next 30 days. One's going to have to give, we suspect.
Which one do you think it'll be?
I suspect it's going to be a little bit both. I think that the farmers are seriously not going to sell any corn the next 30 days, and I think that will tighten up the pipeline. So if your exports still remain red hot like they have, I think that Dease corn has a shot to get up around that 395 level. That's a Dease 07. That's an area where we're going to recommend getting some more cash sales met. But we also feel like that March probably needs to come back down below $4.
And what else did we see in the numbers this morning that you found of great interest?
Not a whole lot. You know, I think the Chinese numbers on the corn were a little bit disappointing. They raised their production 2 million tons. They raised their wheat production 2 million tons. It kind of puts a damper on the idea that the Chinese are going to come in and import any kind of feed grain between now and spring to cool off their inflation, because they've got ample supplies, and it probably only makes sense for them to come in and buy anything on the world market if they had planting delays or extreme drought going into planting or something like that. So kind of going to have to temper that back a little bit unless we see different from them.
Ending stocks numbers interest you at all? What, at 110.39 for the corn? Not much of a change. 110.36 was what we had in the previous report. Production at 768.22, and that's not much changed either.
No, I think the world wheat number, the ending stocks going from, I think, a little under 107 to a little under 110 was a little bit negative.
But, that's correct.
You know, the market did handle it fairly well today, and they came back pretty nicely. We hope it wasn't bean led and just short covering because of spillover effect on the beans. We're hoping that maybe the Dease has factored some of that in, but clearly the report today and the weather in the southern plains would say the bear spreads are going to keep working, so we suspect that's going to still be the play in the wheat market.
Anything else before we let you go for the day?
I think that's it. I'm on the road to Champaign. I'll see you in a little bit.
And see you in a while for Commodity Week. Mike Zuzolo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. He'll be hopping in the car, be here by 4:30 Central Time to do Commodity Week, and that means we'll definitely have it up on the website tonight at willag.org by 6 o'clock for you to listen to. Or you can wait for it tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. right here on the radio station that brings you agricultural programming 6 days a week. Here's what the forecast looks like for this evening. When Mike's headed back home, skies will be partly cloudy across the two-state region. Lows will range from 30 in the north to 38 in the south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 50 in the north to 62 in the south. Wind speeds tomorrow at 5 to 10 miles an hour. The extended forecast, generally dry and open weather, will continue right on through the weekend.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the
A beef conference has been set. Facing high-priced grains and hay in short supply, beef producers will have an information source about feeding co-products to their herds at a November the 28th conference sponsored by the U of I and Extension. The Beef Cattle Co-Products Conference will be held at the U of I Extension building on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. The conference program includes a number of national experts on the purchase and use of co-products to feed animals in cow-calf and feeding operations. Pre-registration for the day-long event is $18. Online registration can be made through November the 21st. Call your local University of Illinois Extension office and ask about the Beef Cattle Co-Products Conference in Springfield. Illinois scholars are on the leading edge of biofuels. The annual Frontiers of Engineering Symposium is wrapped up. This year's event included three scholars from the University of Illinois. Some of the brightest minds in the country, including three scholars from the U of I, met last month to discuss leading-edge developments in engineering and technology. The annual event, sponsored by the National Academy of Engineering, brings together outstanding engineers aged 30 to 45 who are performing exceptional engineering research and technical work in a variety of disciplines. This year's attendees included Vijay Singh, a professor of agricultural and biological engineering at the U of I. Singh works on biofuels. And finally, U of I engineering students have automated harvest. Automated harvesting is considered science fantasy by some farmers, but students at the U of I have developed a small-scale harvesting model that could help bring fantasy one step closer to reality. Students in the off-road equipment management class in the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering have developed an autonomous harvester to bin system that uses wireless communications to synchronize the actions between a harvester and an unloader. The team recently took their project to the robotics demonstration at the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Engineers annual international meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They used the Lego Mindstorm system to build their project. And that's the latest agricultural news on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says we're on the search for our farming roots.
Carl Sandburg once wrote, "I tell you, the past is a bucket of ashes." He wrote that after the First World War. The old empires were gone, and Sandburg was anxious to look ahead. Sandburg says, "I tell you, there is nothing in the world, only an ocean of tomorrows and a sky of tomorrows." Today, Americans view the future with some trepidation because of terrorist threats, economic uncertainty, and media alarms about global warming. Perhaps this is a reason there is so much interest in tracing our family histories. Life was simpler 100 years ago, but it certainly wasn't any easier. One consolation is we didn't have to live it then. Our ancestors did. Many of the people doing research in libraries today are family historians, and libraries have added greatly to resources for this pursuit. Putting together a family history gives people a sense of belonging and a better appreciation of who they are. After all, we all carry the DNA of those who went before us. What many Americans will find in their family's background is a farm or farm connection to farming communities. In 1920 is a significant date to this respect. It marked the first time in our nation's history that more people lived in cities than in rural areas. 35 urbanized areas in the United States now have a population of more than 1 million people. In 1900, there were just 4 urbanized areas: New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Boston. At that time, nearly 40% of the population lived on farms. Today, no more than 2% live on farm-operated households. Almost every family today has someone who is considered the family historian or the genealogist. Living in the past is never recommended, but searching out the past can be rewarding. It could lead to an appreciation of our nation's agricultural heritage and how far it has taken us. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochka's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us 217-333-0850. Up next, beef cattle producers in southern Illinois are not finding enough hay for their animals. I'll have a report from a Johnson County farmer. Like most farmers in deep southern Illinois, Ron Duncan operates on small acreage. He has a 35-head cow-calf operation and about 75 acres under pasture. He says the 2007 growing season was not kind to those acres.
Well, we sort of had a two-pronged attack on our operation. First of all, early spring, or if you will, the early spring freeze that we had here really, really took the top off of our hay crop. We had 3 days where we had sub-freezing temperatures here in mid-April into May. That didn't help a thing. Coupling that with the real, real severe drought that we had in pockets in our area here took my hay production down to about 42-45% of what we would normally see per acre.
Duncan says the hay from those 75 acres generally meets the forage requirements for his herd. That's obviously not the case this year. So he's made the choice to go searching for alternative sources.
We were able to acquire some less than optimum roughages locally, but it looks like we may have to go into Arkansas, perhaps down into even the eastern parts of Tennessee. We've got some places that look like they may have. Of course, they're suffering from some of the same issues. They've had a lot of drought in the south. The northeast looks a little promising. There's some folks perhaps in northern Indiana that may have some material for us. But again, we're looking at this point in time, since we're having to pay a premium anyway, we're looking for high quality stuff that has higher quality protein in it than just baled corn stalks.
This is the point at which farming gets interesting, because the more Duncan has to pay for hay, the closer he gets to making a decision about the herd. a decision that has short and long-term ramifications.
Oh, yes. We're putting the pencil to the fact of, are we going to be better off, paying premium for hay or reducing herd size to meet our hay supply that we currently have? On the short term, that usually looks like a better option. You know, we can usually pencil it out to where if we reduce the herd size, that gives us a better short-term return. However, if you look at the long-term, and if you look at the way the markets usually rebound, cost of replacement cows, raising heifers, all those kinds of things, we're sort of on the teeter right now as to what we want to do. We think we're going to buy forage, though.
That's Ron Duncan of Johnson County, Illinois, speaking about the trials and tribulations of finding enough hay to feed his small cow-calf operation. One other note here, he says the high price of corn has not had a great impact on him. That's because he only feeds about 800 bushels of corn in a year. Still, that extra dollar spent on each bushel is one that does not show up in Ron Duncan's back pocket. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market for the week is Matt Blaisdell at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Thanks for filling in this afternoon. Our regular analyst is away. I know when we talked to Wyatt Muse on Monday, he said most everything in Champaign and to the west had been harvested, but you were still getting corn in from Indiana. Has that begun to tail off yet?
I can think off the top of my head. We have two bigger guys who are still going to Indiana, and other than that, that's about it. The elevators are starting to see a little daylight out there in Indiana, so we've even seen our elevator business even drop off there from Indiana. So I'm saying that they are now getting caught up here to what we've been experiencing for the last 2.5 weeks here in Champaign County. Yeah.
Several folks that are purchasers and buyers there at the Andersons in Champaign County. What was the collective opinion of this morning's USDA report?
I thought it was a little bit surprising on corn. I thought that they went about maybe a half to three-quarter of a bushel farther down than I thought they were. And beans, I thought that was pretty much on par than what we were thinking here in the office.
And then what are your bids for the day there?
We improved our corn bids, so we're at 390, 380, January 390, nearby beans 1028, and Jan 1041.
The basis for the corn is improving. Do you expect that to continue through the rest of next week?
I don't know if we do a little bit, maybe put it a little bit. The processors are obviously improving to bid up for some here out of harvest, but I think we throw another couple more trains, we will be. We're unloading the pile. So,
okay, we appreciate you being with us.
All right, thank you.
That's Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office usually joins us on Monday. Our regular Friday afternoon analyst not available today, so the folks at the Andersons agreed graciously to fill in. We thank them much for doing that. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, about what is happening in the world of agricultural weather. Up next, your regional newscast.
WILL programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe and Bevere Cafe 2 on the U of I campus. Bevere Cafe offers continental breakfast from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., lunches from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and catering. Bevere Cafe is student-operated and newly remodeled on the second floor of Bevere Hall, corner of Gregory and Goodwin, Urbana.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A man and a woman charged with murdering a Champaign couple a year and a half ago say they took part in a theft at the couple's home. Kenneth Kelly and Crystal Myrick appeared in a Champaign County courtroom this afternoon to enter not guilty pleas in the deaths of Jerry and Sue Hay. Kelly told police he had known Jerry Hay and knew there was money and jewelry inside the couple's home. Both told a judge that they were at the home and took part in beating the couple in the course of the theft. Bond for the two has been set at $1 million. Myrick is already in prison serving an arson sentence for attempting to burn down Kelly's grandmother's home. Kelly was extradited from Tennessee last night. Champaign's fire chief says he'll resign by the end of the year. David Pennacook says he wants to spend more time with his family. He plans to leave the department December 28th after more than 3 years as chief. Pennacook came to Champaign from Oregon 3 years ago. Last year, he fell ill with a serious stomach-related disorder that kept him off the job until March. Tom Cross finds himself playing the role of peacemaker and diplomat these days in the Illinois legislature, trying to end a logjam and resolve key issues. It's not a job the House Republican leader embraces, but he says it's one thrust upon him as the only one of the five top leaders in state government who isn't feuding with somebody else at the negotiating table. Cross and the other leaders now are trying to agree on billions of dollars in new state construction projects, but many questions remain about the gambling expansion that's eyed to pay for them. Cross expects it'll take longer than just a few days to get the deal, but he's hopeful it'll happen eventually with all the work he and the other leaders are putting into it. He also predicts the feuding will go on unless all involved agree to end it. Vandals spray-painted messages on a 90-foot marble obelisk commemorating the 1811 Battle of Tippecanoe on the anniversary of the fight. That monument is near Lafayette, Indiana. Messages left on four sides of the monument include "America, repent, justice will be served, and give us back our spiritual capital." The name Main Street Bank is disappearing from the Champaign-Urbana area. Busey Bank has unveiled a new logo that will adorn its branches starting Monday as the merger process between Busey and Main Street winds down. The bank's president for the Champaign and Ford County market says the combined bank will strike a balance between growth and continued presence in the community. The new Busey Bank has $4 billion in assets and more than 40 branches. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like it's going to get cooler over time, but that's probably expected as we go into the month of November.
Yeah, folks have gotten used to the extremely warm weather back in October. Probably don't handle this as well, but the weather right now is not too atypical for November. Max temperatures are running just, today they're running pretty close to normal across most of the region, but we'll see some warm-up over the next few days as winds turn southerly. We have a little clipper system going through Illinois right now, a little cold front, which isn't doing a whole lot, it's maybe causing a wind shift. And over the weekend, we'll gradually see winds swing around to the south, and we're going to have a pretty mild half of next week. First half is going to be rather mild, with temperatures perhaps getting into the 60s, and we'll probably see our first significant precipitation of the month next week sometime, too.
I suppose I was looking into the second half of the week when I was talking about the cooler temperatures, and that will be the case?
Yeah, that will be. We'll see a front come through. Timing's a little iffy right now, but probably Tuesday night and early Wednesday here moving through Illinois. And then once that moves through, by Thursday, we'll see temperatures significantly cool, and we'll finish out the week, it looks like, with temperatures below normal. And it looks like that we'll get into a pretty active weather pattern after that. Of course, now we're getting up pretty far, but it looks like starting next weekend and into Thanksgiving week, we'll be in the rather unsettled weather pattern, so we'll have to keep an eye on that.
And what kind of low temperatures overnight will we have in the meantime, closer to now?
Right now, tonight's probably going to be the coldest night of the next several. We'll probably get down into the low 30s, maybe even some upper 20s in some outlying areas away from city centers and low-lying areas. But then as winds swing around to the south and this next system approaches for the early part of the week, we won't see temperatures getting much out of the low to mid 40s. So it'll be quite a bit above normal in terms of low temperatures. So, and then we probably won't even see a return to close to perhaps freezing until late next week, maybe even Friday or Saturday before that kind of cold gets in here again and the skies clear out a bit.
You have a good weekend.
You too, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign County. And he joins us each and every Friday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time for our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of ag. That's Commodity Week. Airs at 11:30 Central Time right here on the radio station. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website. The address is willag.org. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons and post by 6 o'clock by Friday evenings. Have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.